Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. It's Carly, a special edition of Daytime After Dark for Tuesday, August 15th. Okay, can you believe it's August 15th? I mean, come on. I want a couple more months of summer. Like, can I have, like, 2 months without it turning to rain in Seattle? That's all I ask. 2 more months of summer. That's all I ask. Okay. So tonight we have a very special guest, Kevin E. West. He's been on so many shows. I tried to count on the my fingers today, and he's been on so many I couldn't, you know, count them. But he's been in so many great ones, you know, and he's also been on Y&R and Young and the West of the Jays. So let's welcome Kevin. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how are you, Carly?
Good. Okay, so before we were talking and everything, I didn't even know you were on Young and the Restless and Dental Hospital. Okay, those are my two favorite soaps for two very different reasons. So you were on both. So how was your Young and the Restless experience years back?
My Young and Restless experience was terrific. Actually, on that show, I actually got to play an Australian, which was kind of nice. I mean, it's actually also something that I did on the primetime show Lost, but I got to play an Australian captain, and the boat that I was on got blown up, so I got killed on Young and the Restless playing an Australian. So I was just goofing around there with the accent with you. That's all.
And that worked. Oh, my God, that really worked. Because now I was trying to place you all day on Y&R, because I love, love, love Y&R. Hi, Christoph. Sorry, Christoph St. John is on Y&R. And he's my TV husband in my head, so I just wanted to do that really quick. But no, I loved it. And I now that you mentioned it, I remember it now. Oh, my God, that was an amazing scene. Totally amazing, you know, moment on Y&R, people. And if you wanted to go back and suck it out, please do, because it was incredible. It was really incredible. And people, Y&R people, come hire Kevin again. Kevin needs more work. And Kevin needs to be back in daytime. So people, Carly has spoken, and you guys just have to listen to me, and they know this. But you were on Dental Hospital, too, my favorite. That's my home soap. That's the soap. If I miss it, or if there is breaking news like there was today, I get mad. I get furious. I mean, that is the one soap that no one's allowed to break in, no matter what. So, and I know you were Tim Weiss on there. What was your character on that? Because you were on there for a 7-episode story arc.
I was on for about 9 months, Carly. Yes, I came to the show back when Tony Gehry came back to the show after having been Luke and Laura in the 80s. And when he came back to the show, he came back as his twin cousin. And when he came back, he was basically the head of a fish cannery. That was his position when he came back to the show. And actually, the gal that was the head of the fish cannery was a redheaded gal who's a dear friend of mine named Crystal Carson.
Crystal? Oh, my God,
yeah,
yes.
Crystal's
I'm friends with her, too.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, I've interviewed her. She loves me, so. Yeah.
And so I came on, and I was there when he arrived, made his first appearance as that character. When he walked out to the limousine where Crystal got out of the limousine, and then I was on the show for about off and on for about 9 months as Tim Reese, playing his foreman, at the fish cannery. That was my role at that time.
Awesome. That is so awesome. I mean, you cannot get any bigger than Tony Gay. I'm sorry, people, but you can't. You know, no matter if he was playing Luke or Bill, if he, you know, when he was playing his cousin Bill, or when he was playing Luke Spencer, that is a character that goes down in daytime as one of the best two characters daytime has ever seen in their life. So I'm jealous of you. I'm really jealous you got to work with Anthony and Gary. I'm so jealous.
Yes, he was. He was actually really nice. He was a really nice guy, Carly. He was a really nice guy. Fun to work with.
Well, yeah, he loves Jenna. He loves the H 2 years ago. This whole week, he had to retire, and I'm still not over. And a lot of soap people are not over. But Crystal Carlson. Well, I didn't know you were friends with her. She is like the biggest. She is like one of the sweetest people I've ever interviewed. And like I tell her all the time, you need to come back on daytime. We all missed you on there. You know, she played a wonderful character for so long, Zulia. And when she left, you know, I cried because I did not want her to leave. And she knows I'm still mad over it because she still never left. But, you know, I mean, I guess that she had to. I know that. But it was so, you know, when you get attached to these characters and when they leave you and you don't want them to leave, I mean, when you do want them to leave, then they stay on forever and I die. But if you don't want them to leave, it's a whole nother story. Is this weird how... You know, in the daytime, but you, like I said in the intro, you have done so many primetime shows. I don't think people know how much primetime you have done. I mean, I love the episode for Criminal Minds. I mean, I love Criminal Minds. How was that? Because Criminal Minds is awesome.
Well, it was a lot of fun to do that show. It was a lot of fun, Carly, because first of all, Joe Mantegna is a friend of mine. So I actually hosted in my past. I had executive produced and hosted a celebrity golf tournament for 10 years here in Los Angeles called the Hackensmack Carey Dave Lyon Memorial Tournament. It was a friend of mine that I lost to melanoma, to skin cancer. And
oh,
Joe had played... was a bummer, but I wanted to try and keep his legacy alive and also raise some awareness and funds for skin cancer research. And Joe Mantegna had played in that event for 5 or 6 of its 10 years. So it's always fun when you know somebody just in life or outside of the business, and then you wind up getting to work with him. And I did 2 episodes of Criminal Minds. I played the good sheriff, but unfortunately the good sheriff, once again, got shot straight in the forehead. I get killed a lot, Carly. It was a good time. It was a really good time. I got to play a Texas sheriff, so I got to do my Texas dialect as opposed to being from the South and just doing a Southern dialect, which is different. So it was fun to play the Texas sheriff for a couple of episodes on Criminal Minds.
Well, yeah, and Criminal Minds is so good. It's still really good. And it's like one of those shows that is so good that I think it's going to be around for a while. I mean, all, like, the Criminal Minds and NCIS is all so good. You should go on NCIS LA only because I'm addicted to it. And I think you will, you know, be really, really, really good for that because I just think, you know, those shows, those primetime shows, you know, are really good. But we need to find one so that you don't get killed off and that you're a really good guy and you don't get shot in the head or go get shot anywhere in your body because then you can stay longer on these shows without, you know, you you know, getting killed off. It must be bummer when you get killed off all the time. You know, bummer
well,
when you get killed off.
It's not fun. It's
well,
not fun.
I
it
think
it
would
happens,
not.
It's not fun.
And so I know you were on Lost, you know, Destiny Lost. I don't know if it was Lost the TV show or on this movie Destiny Lost. Was it the TV show Lost or was it another
thing? Yes, it was Lost the TV show with Josh Holloway on ABC.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it was with Josh and Matthew Fox and Jorge Garcia.
Yes.
It's a TV show when they had all wound up on this plane that crashed and they wound up stuck on you know, the island. I played a character named Detective Calderwood, and it was at the end of the very first season. The show had already risen to being number one in the United States by the time I did the show. But on that show, I actually got the opportunity to be Australian, which was difficult because the show had actually Australian writers and Australian consultants, and I'm, of course, not Australian, but they really wanted somebody from Australia. And so I think when I went to audition, maybe I was one of only one or two guys that they called in that the casting office knew we're not from Australia. And so you had to be really, really believable as an Australian in terms of the being able to sound like an Australian. So I was very thrilled not being Australian to be able to get that show over people who were actually Australian. It was pretty fun. Plus, my sister was living in Hawaii at the time, and because she was in the Navy, and so I got to fly there and never told her. And I just showed up and surprised her and said, "Hey, do you want to have lunch?" So that was a lot of fun as well.
Yeah, hey, you want to have lunch? And I'm like, I was thinking, yeah, that would be nice, but you are in the U.S. and I'm here, probably, you know. How? I mean, Hawaii, you know, you got to film in Hawaii. If I was filming in Hawaii, I don't think I would ever want to come back home. Because, I mean, I've never been in Hawaii, I want to go, but I've heard once you go there, people don't want to leave. It's like paradise, and everyone really doesn't want to leave. But when you're shooting in Hawaii, how is that? Because I think that would be the luckiest place to film anything, because it's Hawaii, so it's Hawaii. Yeah, how is that?
Oh, it was a lot of fun. I mean, again, I had been two or three times because my sister had been in Hawaii. She lived in Hawaii, I think, for a total of about 14 years. And so it was a blast to get to go and surprise her. And I'd been around the islands a little bit. But anytime, honestly, Carly, anytime you get a chance to travel and go shoot someplace other than where you live or where you're from, at least for me, it's a lot of fun. I mean, I've done stuff up in San Francisco, and I've done stuff in Minnesota, and I've done stuff in Oklahoma, and I started my career in Atlanta, and I've shot in the Carolinas. And so anytime you get to go somewhere and shoot, and certainly Hawaii is the most exotic of those. I still haven't gotten flown to Europe to shoot, which is a little depressing, but I'm hoping that's going to change soon, because I have a movie coming out called Our Little Secret that was actually written and directed by a gentleman who lives in the States, but he's Russian, and the producers were Russian. So I'm hoping if we don't have too much trouble going forward, that perhaps one day I might get to go shoot in the Ukraine or Russia or maybe even Prague, which is one of my favorite cities. So, but it was very fun to shoot in Hawaii, and happy to shoot in Hawaii anytime. I've auditioned for Hawaii 5-0, but I have not gotten it yet, Carly. Dang it.
Okay, people. Come on, people. Give him Hawaii 5-0. You know, because, no, I mean, my other host, Maggie, loves Hawaii 5-0. And You know, we both say all the time, you know, there are so many good TV shows that come out of, you know, Hawaii. And, you know, I just think because I've never been, I'm scared if I actually go, I might never want to come home. See, and that's my only, because after all, I live in Seattle. So we are talking about rain, you know, 8 months of the year. And right now, for the last a month and a half, we've been in this nice 70, 80, 90, you know, degrees for the last, you know, from almost June until right now. And I'm, like, thinking, and that's why I said in my intro, okay, please just give us another 2 months of summer. That's all I ask. Because I know come winter time, we will get the snow. I already know it. I already can feel it. So my thing is, give us all the hot, nice, hot weather people can get you. And then I will be okay with the snow. So, you know, I mean, yeah, see, I mean, I like the snow. A lot of people don't like the snow, but I like it because it doesn't happen every day. Or it doesn't happen, you know, every year. So, you know, people, yeah. But you were in one of my favorite movies, but I still never watched it late at night. And still regretting my decision. You were in Stalked by My Neighbor. And you played the
officer there. Yes, I
was. There. Okay.
Yes, I was.
My problem was I saw it at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I, you know, I should never done that because you should never, ever, ever see a movie called Stalked. Any kind of Stalked at 3 o'clock in the morning. But you were so great in that movie. How was that for you? Because that was an awesome movie. I loved it.
Oh, it was very fun. I would love to have been it even more than I was, but it was certainly fun. Amy Peetz is a lovely, lovely lady to work with, and the director of that, Doug Campbell, is a friend of mine, and had been a friend of mine for quite a long time, and so it was a pleasure always to work with him. And then the person who cast the movie, Jeff Hardwick, has also been a friend of mine for a long time as well. So anytime you get a chance to have people who know you and like you want to work with you and have you as a part of their project, it's always a lot of fun. And I had met Amy long, long time before that, way back, I think, when she had come off Caroline in the City, and I had not seen her in many, many, many years. So it was very nice to hang out with her years later. Kind of the same thing happened to me with Leverage, because the first movie I ever did was a movie called Made in Heaven way back when I was really young and had just before I moved to California. And then years later, I wind up doing Leverage up in near you, up in Portland, with Timothy Hutton again. And so to see him and chat with him after 25 plus years was pretty funny. So Stalked by a Neighbor was kind of like that for me with Amy Peetz.
No, I love Timothy Hutton. I love him. Are you still really good friends with him, by the way? I mean, did you guys ever, like, talk?
No, we're not. Oh, no. We're not. I'm always careful about that in Hollywood. We're not buddies. It was just good professional fun. And when I chatted with him, because I was up there for a week, when I chatted with him about us having done Made in Heaven all those years ago, we just both laughed because, you know, when you get older and you've gone through your career, you're laughing at the fact that, you know, ah, gosh, weren't we young back then? Because I was just a kid. He's a bit older than me. And so it was fun. I mean, and Portland was cool. I've spent time in Seattle, so I love being up in the Pacific Northwest, and it was probably my most fun week on a TV show. I've had some losses, probably. Go ahead.
No, which part of Portland were you in? Because I lived there until I was 11, and I go back all the time because that's the only place I can get my pizza now is Oregon. I'm becoming really snobby over that one. But, yeah, where in Poland did you guys film it?
Well, we filmed in a couple of internal locations that were close to downtown. And then we also drove up to Vancouver, Washington, and we shot at an old it wasn't abandoned. It just was a very remote, large kind of office building in the middle of nowhere because we had to have part of the show. Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
We had to shoot downtown, and then we had to shoot up there. I mean, I was there for 8 days, so it was fun.
I love Oregon. If you ever go back to Poland, let me know before you go back. I can give you, like, really good places to eat. I mean, yeah, Seattle, we have great places, but nothing compares to Oregon. I mean, for me, I was just there 2 weeks ago, and I just missed the food because, I don't know, somehow I think Oregon had really good restaurants, and, like, I found this really good Mexican restaurant. So, yeah, if you ever shoot in Poland again, please let me know, and I will, you know, give you a lot of good places. And you were also in the Willing to Kill, the Texas Steel Leader story, which I followed. I followed that case. I could not believe that case. But you were great as the prosecutor. What was it like knowing you were doing a movie, but it was like real life? It was, you know, we're from the headline, but it was like a real story. How was that?
It goes back to earlier in my career, Carly. Thank you for bringing it up. It was actually a lot of fun, and it was actually pretty amazing because to be a part of something that had been ripped from the headlines, which of course, you know, many people have had the chance to do, was pretty amazing. And one of the producers of that show, which is how he had gotten the rights to produce it, he was friends with some of the people involved. So while we were on the set getting to shoot, we were sort of able to kind of get to know this guy, Alan, who actually knew all these people involved with this crazy, crazy story of this, you know, mom of a cheerleader who, you know, was trying to basically, you know, murder her daughter's competition. I mean, it was this is before Tanya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan in the Olympics. And so, I mean, this was crazy town. And again, for me, I got a chance to work with Leslie Ann Warren, she was sort of a childhood idol of mine when I was a kid. So long before I was an actor. So it was kind of very interesting to get a chance to work with her. I also got to work with Tess Harper. This was early in my career, and again, got a chance to play another, you know, Texas person with a Texas dialect as opposed to just a sheer Southern dialect, which I'm from Tennessee. So it was great. I had a blast doing that. And then, of course, HBO did the Holly Hunter version of it, which was a little more dark. ABC's was a little more normal, but was such a blast to do that movie of the week. I had a great time.
Well, you know, in that movie, you know, so long, everyone was, you know, everyone could not believe it, you know, because you would never think a mom would do that, number one. But it was, like, in the news so much. And, you know, that was way before people, I believe it was 1992. So it was way before O.J. Simpson ever did what, you know, took the soaps off for us. I think that the Texas Steel Leader was almost like a glimpse to what we got 3 years later, because in Seattle, again, I remember that, you know, the Steel Leader story was almost like on the news every night, new information, and no one could no one ever saw, you know, that coming, and it was like a really talked about, you know, movie and what was happening, and, you know, playing the prosecutor. Did you get talk to the real prosecutor that did, you know, that did it? You know, did you get any notes from him, or did you not get to meet him?
No, back then when ABC decided to do that, Carly, they had this one individual who was associated with the whole case. He was friends with the almost victim's family. And so he had been surrounded by the entire process at the time, but we did not get the opportunity to have any live. I mean, which I'm sure they did with the recent OJ film.
Yes.
That there's no question that those actors got a chance to speak with those prosecutors of Patricia Clark and everyone, because it was such a massively high profile case, and also because Hollywood has changed a bit since 1992 to today, 25 years later. And ABC just did not feel at that time, even for the position of the prosecuting attorney, which is what I was playing, that was necessary for us to actually talk to the real people. I don't actually know now, Carly, whether or not Leslie Ann Warren did. She may have. Tess Harper may have. But we did not.
I love Leslie Ann Warren. Again, you have worked with great, great reading lady. Leslie Warren. Ann Warren was on Bold and the Beautiful for about 5 or 6 years, I think. And she's been on daytime, but, you know, she is such a great actress. So what was it like for you knowing that you had, like, the childhood crush on her, like you said? How was that, knowing you were working with Josiah Hurcrest? How was that?
It was a little intimidating, I'll be honest with you. Again, this was earlier in my career. Later on, I mean, I wound up eventually working with Heather Locklear, and I've worked with Jennifer Garner, and I've worked with, you know, what I would define as, you know, women that, you know, are lovely and beautiful and that you would look forward to talking to at any time, but to wind up working with them on a show, it's a little intimidating the first couple of times it happens. But fortunately, that's part of your job as a professional, and part of the reason why it's important to really become a professional is that you still have to go do your job, and you have to do it well. So you have to kind of put aside the, you know, gosh, I cannot believe I'm standing here with Leslie Ann Warren, or, you know, also, Carly, you know, I worked with Andy Griffith. I worked with Dick Van Dyke. Those are two huge male icons in television. So, you know, again, it doesn't matter really who it is, honestly. You have to find a way to make sure that you are focused and prepared and that you go in and do your job. And I think for me early on, because I did get a chance to work with someone like Timothy Hutton, who had been in a movie like Ordinary People when I was a kid, long before I was ever an actor. I think those things, you know, each one of them, each time it happens, Carly, it just makes it easier. Hey, I mean, listen, being on General Hospital early in my career and being around someone like Anthony Geary, who, you know, I mean, Carly, I was in high school, and Luke and Laura, all the way up to me going to just into college, Luke and Laura was one of the biggest things in America, and it may have been before I was in. Yeah, it was. So when you finally one day, even though it's 10 years later, you wind up being an actor and you wind up in Los Angeles, and all next thing you know, it's like you're driving to ABC, and what you know is you're about to walk in and have to work with Anthony Geary. All of those things early on, that happened. Some of those things happened pretty early in my career. So, I mean, Timothy Hutton and Anthony Geary happened in the first couple, 3 years of my career. So by the time you get to Leslie Ann Warren, which was just a year after Anthony Geary, it's like, well, you have to kind of start getting used to it. And you also have to feel that, same as sports, you have to feel that you belong, that, you know, you may not be the star, but it's still really important for you to do a terrific job. So you can't really be in awe of anybody anymore.
Well, you could, like, deep down inside without telling anyone you were. I mean, you know, but no, I get what you're saying, Kevin. I totally do, because this show, oh my God, I have interviewed a lot, but when you get your favorites on here, like Kristoff and Jay Eddy and James Winters, all my guys that I love and respect and have done so much good for daytime. Yeah, I have to forget about it, you know, and interview them, you know, except, you know, well, Kristoff is kind of concerned. Sometimes that goes out the window, but him and I are friends now. So I think that helps when you are friends with them after the interview, because, you know, all the guys would do anything for me. I would do anything for them. So I get what you're saying. But in a way, it was a good thing it happened early in your career, because you got your feet wet and you knew what it was all about, and it didn't come later in your career. I think it was supposed to come earlier in your career, so you could get all that out of the way. That's how I look at it. You could just, you know, get it out of the way and, you know, and then you could just move on, like you said. But when you were talking about Andy Griffin, I loved him, and you were on Matlock, and I remember that episode. So I love Matlock. I love Andy Griffin. How was that? Because Matlock was incredible.
Well, it was my first prime time credit. So early in my career, I had this major motion picture known as Made in Heaven with Timothy Hutton, and Deborah Winger was in it, and that was kind of surreal for me. And then I wind up on General Hospital, and I'm on it off and on, recurring for about 9 months, and that was, you know, again, I began to get comfortable with that. But then when Matlock happened right before that, and in 1990, and it was a lot of the shows that I've done, Carly, at the time that I did them, they were rated in like the top 10 or the top 5 in America. And so they were heavily watched shows. And I can remember we had to shoot on location for 3 or 4 days, and I was over in Westwood near UCLA. Here in Los Angeles, at one of those big high-rise condo places where we were shooting, and I made a little bit of a mistake in one of my takes, and Andy Griffith kind of leaned into me, and he just smiled like this good old kind sort of father guy, and he just looked at me and he said, "I'd match it if I were you." Now that's a phrase he was using related to some action that I was doing in the scene. And, you know, it was kind of like getting crawled into the principal's office, sort of, because he was saying it to me in front of, which people don't realize sometimes, there's 45 people in the crew standing around.
Oh, yeah.
Waiting for you to make sure you get this right. And it was towards the end of the day, and we were running out of sunlight. And it was one of those moments where I was very happy I had a really serious sports background, because it was one of those moments where you have to come through, and you have to come through right now. We don't have any more time or any more takes for you to get this right. So you have to get it right now, and you're standing across from Andy Griffith. So that's kind of my Andy Griffith story, and it was a lot of fun for me. I remember going home that day going, whew, I'm glad I got through that.
Yeah, it was like one of the shows you never miss. Like you said, the top 10, you know, was never bad in the ratings. But then you were also on Diagnosis Murder, which I love Diagnosis Murder. I mean, here you were, like you said, you were working with Andy Griffin, but Dick Van Dyke. And it was almost like you got a lottery, like the good lottery of working people. But how was working on Diagnosis Murder? Because it was, you know, really, really a good show to work on.
Right. Once again, I got killed. I got killed on that show.
No.
But prior to getting killed, Again, you're walking in. Now, this is a bit, kind of in the middle of my career. And I didn't really get concerned about working with Dick Van Dyke. But at the same time, you're someone my age, Carly. You're sort of looking at working with Dick Van Dyke. And you're like, man, this is the guy that was the husband on Mary Tyler Moore Show. I mean, this is Dick Van Dyke. This is the guy that as a kid, even my mom, when you watch the beginning of that show and he comes in and he trips over the ottoman in the beginning of the Mary Tyler Moore Show, and you're like, I'm working with Dick Van Dyke. And he was awesome. That's all I can tell you, Carly. He was, such a kind, such a giving, sweet guy. And a matter of fact, he was goofing around at one point, one of the days, in between takes. And he's kind of, as they commonly do, they put down stuff on the ground that a lot of times the audience does not see to make it more quiet so that the shoes don't make noise while you're doing the lines. And he was goofing around, kind of doing like a soft shoe little dance step. And he slipped and he went down hard, Carly. I mean, hard. And at this time, he was not young. I mean, he was already a fairly older gentleman, and we all thought he'd broken his arm.
We kind of
panicked right in the middle of shooting the show. It was like, oh my God, Dick Van Dyke just broke his arm. It turns out he got up and he was fine, and we were able to finish the episode. But working with him was an absolute blast, and it was one of the great things about show business, Carly, that my acting coach had actually said to me way back when I first started. He said, one of the things about show business is you can wind up one day being the person who's never really done this before. He said, you can wind up being the person one day who's an old pro. And he said, or you can wind up being one day a person who's having to work with a really old pro and a brand new person at the same time. And he said, that doesn't really happen in sports or music. Usually you wind up working with people who are accomplished like you are. Well, on that set that day, I'm working with Dick Van Dyke, and the woman playing my wife had never done television before.
Oh,
she
no.
was scared. She was scared to death. So here I am in this one particular scene, not the whole episode, but this one scene, trying to walk in this house with her and work with Dick Van Dyke. So I'm kind of the middle veteran. Dick Van Dyke's the, Emmy Award winning old professional. And this gal playing my wife is literally, Carly, shaking. She's holding my hand because we're walking as husband, and she had one line. And she is shaking in her shoes, walking in with me as we're shooting this one particular scene. And I remember laughing, going, yeah, this is what my acting coach talked about, because now I have to find a way to calm this gal down enough that she can get through shooting this one scene so that we can move on, which is what they say in television all the time. Okay, cut, moving on, the next scene. And she was scared to death, Carly.
Oh, God, I feel bad for her. But, okay, we better take calls. Oh, I have people that kill me, will kill me. And I say this every time, but no, I'm serious. They get mad at me. Okay, David. David, you on there?
Hi, Kim. How you doing?
We're good.
We are great, David.
Yeah, I remember you from General Hospital and Young and Restless. You were great on there.
Oh, thank you very much. I played the captain, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah. you're one of my two favorite TV shows, ER and Angel. What was it like working on those?
Angel was a blast. That actually was in one of those episodes that kind of got a little... It got a little strange at the end of the episode, because there was something going on with the episode where we had to go through sensitivity training, the police officers did, and so I literally wound up having to read poetry to like a 300-pound inmate black man, which was the actual scene itself was pretty damn funny, but it was funny. And David Boreanaz, of course, who has a new show out right now, I also did Bones with him. So this has happened to me a couple of times in my career where I worked with somebody a long time ago, and then I wound up working with him again on another show.
What about ER? You're on ER, too.
I didn't actually, it's a little depressing for me, David. I didn't actually do ER, which is still amazing to me that I didn't do that show. Like The Walking Dead, ER, there's a couple of shows I'm kind of amazed that I never did in the 90s after the year 2000.
Kevin, no, you will, that they have you listed on doing ER.
Yeah.
You will.
Oh.
That's...
Well, that's too bad. That's just sad that they have me listed
doing
ER.
Well, I know, but it's funny because, you know, yeah, they have you listed on the first episode of ER. And when
really?
I tell them, the Human Doctor episode and the pilot episode, they have you down. This one, too, maybe.
Well, here's the funny part about that. There actually is another Kevin West. Now, Kevin is actually a friend of mine. I know him pretty well. We became friends shortly after I moved to Los Angeles because I was a stand-up comic. And Kevin was actually already here and was actually already doing pretty well as a comic. And Kevin doesn't look like me at all. If you look up Kevin West and you look up Kevin E. West. But the good part is on my IMDb page, they don't have ER listed, but they must have it listed on the show. And it probably was the other Kevin. Yeah, because I did 24 and I did a lot of those shows. But it's just funny. It's a great question, David, because I was always amazed I didn't do ER. I couldn't believe I didn't get on that show. I was like,
yeah.
I was like, damn. So...
Yeah,
I was bummed out. Yeah, for
that
sure.
That would be awesome. So, David, did you have any other questions?
Yeah, all the movies you've done, what has been your favorite?
What has been my favorite? Boy, it's hard to say because I had so much fun. Like I said to Carly, I had so much fun up in Portland doing Leverage, but at the same time, I think Lost for me still winds up being my favorite for a couple of different reasons. And one of them is because I had such a good time shooting with Josh Holloway, but also getting hired as an Australian. And then also the fact that I got to fly to Hawaii and my sister was living there at the time. I think that combination of it, and the show was so well loved. I mean, I got more requests for pictures from all over the world from doing that show than any other show I've ever done. So probably Lost. Probably.
Wow.
He was good in that, yeah. Okay, well,
thank you.
I appreciate
it.
Question.
You bet, David.
Perfect, David. I will put you back on hold, and I will get to another call. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Carly. Hey, Carly. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey. Now, I heard earlier that you said that you worked in the Carolinas. I'm guessing because at the time there was a lot of filming in Wilmington at the time, and I don't know if they still film movies or stuff down there. Was that what you were referring to? Did you film in Wilmington or was it somewhere like Charleston?
Well, I shot in Charleston, Bobby, because that's where we shot Made in Heaven. But Wilmington was a very popular place. When I first started my career, I started my career in Atlanta. Now, Atlanta at the time was a little different than what Atlanta is today in terms of Tyler Perry and in terms of The Walking Dead and a lot of the production that's going on in Atlanta today. A lot of Chuck Norris films got done in Atlanta at that time, but I never shot in I tried very hard to get in King Kong, which they shot in Wilmington, I think, back then, but I did not get in that. But I did shoot in Charleston, and I love me some North Carolina and South Carolina because I'm also a golfer, so always fun to be in South Carolina and Charleston for sure.
Right. We have some good golf courses around here with Pinehurst and Coral Hollow that recently just had the PGA tournament.
And I played Pinehurst. I played Pinehurst a few years ago.
Oh, yeah. I was just up there for July 4th, and I saw they're getting ready for another PGA event in a couple of years. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Hopefully I can take up the sport and just mark that down on my bucket list, because that would be great to just do that. But anyways, I was just wondering, you work with a lot of great actors. Is there one Andy Griffith story that you can just, well, other than what you just said now, that you can tell us about Andy? Because I know him for many years growing up, watching him on the Andy Griffith Show and then on Matlock, and just watching sometime with the reruns on TV Land or on MeTV. I just figured that he was just basically what the South is, especially in light of what we have seen in recent years about what have happened in the South, especially in the last few days.
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of the things, I mean, at the time, remember that when I did that show, it was only, I think, one or two seasons later, Bobby, that he actually demanded that if they wanted to continue the show, they had to move it back to North Carolina where he lived, because mm-hmm. he was just getting really old, and he didn't want to have to stay in Los Angeles and deal with that schedule, doing a television show, you know, shooting 4 or 5 days a week out of every 8 days, you know, several weeks out of the year. He didn't want to have to do it. So, he got them to do it because that's, you know, that just goes to show how much money the show was making, that they were willing to move the entire show to North Carolina so that Andy Griffith didn't have to drive very far to go to work, which made sense.
Yeah,
but
I know,
because
Raleigh
was
like a 2.5 hour drive from Wilmington, and that was a pretty good commute. And like I said earlier, he was one of the this was back in the day with the old Andy Griffith Show and Mayberry RFD. This was one good example of what the South was back in the day versus what we have seen in the last couple of days in light of what happened in Charlottesville and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think he had pretty strong feelings, but he was just very much, my experience with him was that he was very much just a simple gentleman. He did come across very much like your father. And he came across, and he was a complete professional. He showed up for work. He didn't argue with anybody. He was easy to be around. He was very friendly. And, you know, not everybody in any office, in any job, when you're the boss and the head and you're the guy who's the star, doesn't matter if it's an insurance company or if it's an advertising company or if you happen to be doing a TV show. A lot of times the guy who's the biggest, you know, the biggest name or the biggest ego in the room is not always nice. And
right.
And Andy Griffith was a terrifically nice man. Nothing but a
right.
pleasure
and,
to be around him.
Yeah, I think I can just tell that too. That I'm sure that Ron Howard will agree with you on that. But speaking of Ron, did he ever direct you in any of the movies you did?
Completely depressed, no. As a matter of fact, though, recently I would so have loved to have been in his series Genius that he had on the History Channel about Albert Einstein. That was a tremendous, tremendous series, and I went and saw him chat about it, about the series itself. But oddly enough, Bobby, it's been strange for me. It may change because I have 3 or 4 films coming out, but amazingly enough, throughout my long career, I've never done a ton of movies. I mean, I've auditioned for Supermans and Batmans and Transformers and all of that stuff, but oddly, most of my career is television.
Okay. Well, listen, like Carly said, if they ever want you back in daytime, just you got 4 different shows to choose from. I don't care if you have to return back to GH or YNR or Tryout Date or Bowling Beautiful, but at least you'll get back into the groove of things for daytime television.
Well, the casting director of General Hospital is a personal friend of mine, so you never know.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Are you talking about
Mark Teshner?
I know him. What?
Yeah, Mark.
I
Teshner.
Know him.
Yeah, he's a.
Yeah,
yeah
but
he's a
yeah,
very, he's
did
a,
they?
He's a very
did,
good friend of mine.
You,
yes.
Yeah, about 6 months ago. Yeah. Okay, Bobby, I'm going to put you on hold.
Well, Carly, that's okay. I actually don't want to just stick around, but I just wanted to just get my question. But I do want to just say very quickly before I go off there, I might not do Friday's show because I'm going to be out. I told you on Instagram earlier, today, on Facebook earlier, but I'll let you know, depending on how the weather is, if I'm going to be able to do Friday's show or not. But you have a great
hey, Bobby.
Weekend. But,
Bobby, after the interview, I don't think you're going to want to leave the show because I'm having one of my little rants afterwards. So I think you might want to stick around.
Well, I think I know what it is. I think I know what it is with the breaking news.
Yes.
But you can put me on hold, and unless we get some crazy calls like we did the other night, then that was just fine.
Okay. Okay, Bobby. Okay, and Maggie. Hey, Maggie.
Hi. Hi. Great. I'm so glad you're on the show tonight. Wow.
Thanks, Maggie. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I mean, your name's synonymous with TV shows. And the only one that I have a question for you about is Aquarius. What happened
yes,
to it?
What happened to the show itself?
Uh-huh.
Well, Aquarius is a little bit sort of the nature of where television has transitioned in Hollywood. Now, Aquarius was on for two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the first season, mm-hmm. and I was with Rafe in terms of being his sort of superior. He was originally in Homicide, and then he got sent down and mm-hmm. had to deal with a different department, and I was his superior in that. But it was on for two episodes, and ultimately, Maggie, it just comes down to ratings. Most of the time on a show on a main network, ABC, CBS, NBC, or Fox,
mm-hmm.
But it's the same also for cable shows or for HBO and even for Netflix. But that show was kind of done in 2014, 2015, 2016, and
mm-hmm.
it kind of crossed over that period of time where now you see shows being specifically made to only have a 10 or 12 hour episode lifespan. And so
mm-hmm.
as much as we still want shows to go on like Criminal Minds,
mm-hmm.
or we want to see shows every week that never go away, Netflix has certainly began to create shows there. They're okay with the fact if it only has a 10 or 12 episode lifespan like Westworld, or
uh-huh.
some of those shows. So Aquarius, mm-hmm. you know, was about the Charles Manson era,
yeah.
and it just was one of those shows that after two episodes, the public, I guess, just didn't make enough money for NBC to decide to keep it on air. And again, you know, let's bear in mind that David Duchovny was sort of, you know, became famous because of the X-Files, and so it was
mm-hmm.
a little bit of a character kind of going back to the X-Files a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still kind of a rough and tumble guy with problems, a little bit like Californication. And sometimes,
yeah.
you know, Carly, even though people may love a star, sometimes in certain shows, the public just doesn't like them in that particular show. And if they don't like the star,
exactly.
they're not going to.
Yeah.
That's all. You know, that happens all the time.
Well, my son and I watched her careers because, well, I was around during the James Hansen thing. And I would fill him in and stuff, and we'd be watching the show and that, and then have more background. And I go, now this story is pretty educational for a generation that doesn't know what happened to Sharon Tate or whatever happened. And I wanted you to extend your run on there.
Oh no, I would have loved to have been on that show more because I
mm-hmm.
again that era of time, I was a really young kid, but my mom. Was actually in California and was very aware when all that happened with the LaBiancas and all
mm-hmm.
that happened with Sharon Tate. And so I would love to have been on that show. I had a couple of friends that were actually on that show. So I would love to have been on it more, for sure.
Maybe that's just somebody can pick it up. Because to me, there's more that needs to be told. Duchovny's character probably, they had a problem, but they could have got somebody else to play the part.
Well, yeah,
yeah.
but...
I totally enjoyed it. It was great to see you in it, and I wanted more. That's all I wanted to see you tonight.
Yeah, Maggie wanted more, believe me. Maggie complained to me, and I know when Maggie wants more, then I'm going to hear about it. So, yeah, so the moral of the story, Kevin, is please get back in. Prime time, daytime, we don't care. We want to see you more. And we love you coming on today. But we would love to have you back When, you know, the movie you were talking about, whenever whatever movie comes out, come on, we will do the promo. We will promo it for you and, you know, and the movie, and then we can tell everyone, you know, when your movie comes out and everything. Right, Maggie?
You're right, absolutely, because we get attached to different people, and you really, when they're out of what you're watching, like Lost, which I adored. They never, they never had Lost here, but...
Well, believe you me, Maggie and Carly, I hope to be in something very, very soon for you, but I will let you know when our little secret comes out. That's for sure.
Oh, yes. See, because we want to talk to you about it. And thank you for stopping by. But
thank
we
you.
Want you back again and again. And, oh, do you still do the golf, you know, the golf thing you were doing? Do you still
No, I did it for 10 years, and it's off now. But I did publish my book last year called Seven Deadly Sins, The Actor Overcomes, which you can find on Amazon. So I did publish that last year. But that's the book,
no,
that's a book about the business side of show business, which is something I've been speaking on for years. So
after I read the book, we would love to have you back on. To talk about the book. I didn't even know you wrote a book.
I got a book.
And because, no, reason why I was, you know, asking about the golf, well, I have a couple of guys in daytime who are really good golfers, and I was going to, you know, send you their names for the golfing thing, but since you don't do anymore, well, that doesn't help. But, you know, I don't understand the golfing thing. But that's okay. I really don't understand it. Come, you know, just come like a month, 3 weeks now, football season. I get that. I get football, baseball, basketball, hockey.
Basketball,
I get that.
Hockey, soccer.
Yeah, but golf, I don't get the whole golf thing. I really don't.
Sorry, me either.
It's okay. It's okay. It's you either love it or hate it. There's no in between, so it's okay if you don't like it.
Well, yeah, so, but no, thank you for coming on, and I will send you a message after I read your book, but we can, you can come on and talk about that.
Would be my pleasure, Carly.
Okay, have a great
thank
night.
You. Thank
you
for mentioning this
tonight. Care.
Okay, bye-bye.
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 Hey again.
Okay, so
okay.
We have a little time. We have a little time. David, I brought you on, so don't think I'm ignoring you. And,
hey, David.
Okay.
Hello, Claudia. Yeah, Bobby.
Hey, guys.
Okay, so, Bobby, I know you have to go soon, but no, you did not want to miss this.
Okay,
people.
Okay.
I think I know what you're talking about because you talked.
Okay, Bobby. Bobby.
Okay. All right,
sorry.
I know.
I don't know.
Maggie, would you
know.
Please do something about Bobby, please?
Bobby, sweetie, would you please wait? She needs to make her dissertation right now.
Okay. It's not about Chloe being back on Days, I hope.
No, God. Oh, why is she back?
No.
Anyway.
No. Okay.
I totally.
So, you know, the only thing in life, really, for the past year, 9 months, I've been passionate, loving, understanding, whatever, as a family base, as a couple, is Carson on Z8. So, what happened to me today? To me, I don't care about anyone else in America. This happened to me. Okay, I couldn't wait for today on Z8. I couldn't wait. I've been waiting 2 weeks for everything to come out. 2 weeks for everything to come out. And what happened? The one who, you know, I would never respect in the White House came on the TV. Came on the TV for what? He only made himself look like an ASS. And you're going to come on to me. Mine's in a hospital. Mine's in a hospital. Mine. Carson was on. Jason was on, Sam was on, and everything. You, if you interrupt again, Mr. whatever you call yourself, I'm done. After today, I am done with you. You don't break in to say things that you already got in trouble for over the weekend. And there is no way you can save your ass anymore because no one likes you. No one likes you. No one can stand you. And whoever voted for you have the same mind that you do. So please get off our screens and never come back on our screen between 1 o'clock West Coast time and 2 and 2 o'clock Maggie's time and 3 o'clock for David and Bobby.
No, 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock.
Well,
Joe
has to come out in my area, but today's come out at 1 in my area, and that's my big concern because I didn't watch yesterday because he came on at 12:45, broke into the local news here. I know in some markets, Dave was on already and broke into that. And I didn't want to take no chances of maybe him coming back on during between 1 and 2 and missing out on that. And I know I can watch it on demand, but I just finished watching today's show. So it wasn't possible just be going back over Mondays and then watching today's show over again.
I ain't watched it yet. I'm behind.
Wait.
I got the whole episode.
Well, yes. Okay. The only thing
however, I do feel your pain, Carly, because I did, because where we are in North Carolina, Raleigh, they are wanting Young and Restless on our Raleigh station at 4 o'clock. So I feel your pain, but I didn't see nobody whining or complaining about that. And I even checked some of the West Coast stations out in L.A. and San Francisco on their Facebook pages to see what was going if they got in it. And I see what you mean, but...
you got to remember, Bobby, for Ryan all and Bode, I will never, I mean, I hate things getting interrupted, but we have POP for that, okay? But for General Hospital, I'm screwed. No matter how
right.
I look at it today, I'm screwed because I'm going to have to watch it on demand tonight. And on demand, then they have a fast forward button.
That's
what,
yeah.
So
that's why I didn't do that with yesterday's days because I watched it up through the NBC app on Roku, and I didn't want to do that because I didn't want to sit through commercials I can't even fast forward through or delete. And I wasn't going to pay $2 extra to get rid of the ads either.
No.
No, I will pay $100 at this point. Okay, because I'm mad. And if it wasn't for Maggie today, I would probably have a complete and other meltdown. And, of course, Maggie can calm me down, but she gets it. She gets it while I'm mad.
I got it. Now that I know what it was.
She gets it.
First, I didn't
you know
what
and she
about.
Never tells me. She never tells me to get over it because I'm come Friday, so whatever, the next show we have. I'm still not going to let this go because this was wrong today. And you know what? He always cooked his good, and all of the Twitter people want to impeach him. So, you know, no matter how and what happened.
I saw the hashtag of some people wanted to do that.
There's a hashtag.
Yes. As
I said earlier this year, it's going to be a long 4 years. We voted for him to deal with it.
Those of us that
thought he would make a good president voted for him. I didn't vote for him. But we got 40 long years. And
we don't, Bobby. No, we don't. Someone, some lawyer, someone is going to find a way out of the 4 years. Someone out there is as pissed as everyone is. And after this weekend, what he said and what he did, people are all going to find a way to get this guy out of here. And when they get rid of him...
Let's assume, and I don't know what the latest situation with North Korea, let's assume they launched missiles towards Guam, and you're not out of the woods, Carly, because Seattle is in that crossfire, and let's say that...
Why am I not out of the woods?
Well, because those missiles are aimed directly towards the West Coast as well, but let's assume...
Okay, see, Bobby, I did not need to know that.
I was going to explain it all to you tonight. I didn't get an opportunity yet.
I didn't need to know that until Maggie explained it to me. Okay? To Maggie before you say it.
I'm sorry, Carly, but I didn't mean to.
Are you serious?
I'm going to die because of him?
Carly, it's okay. I'm sorry if I got you worked up. But
Dennis Rosen lives over there, and he gets his friends, so I don't think he's going to do it.
I think we have allies in Japan and South Korea that can knock those missiles out before it hits those areas, then that'll be fine. I don't care if they have to send back Dennis Rodman and have him permanently be over there in North Korea. They can just sell this peacefully without us having to go to war with them.
Right.
You know what? Even though Obama wasn't my favorite person all the time, I miss him. I miss Biden most of all. So, you know what? And for everyone to think, oh, if we get him out, Pence is, you know, great. Now, Pence is, he has 30 times worse than what he is. So, you know, we need them both out. We need both of them
out.
Right.
Because I don't blame the students at Notre Dame walking out on their own graduation because Pence was talking. I don't blame them.
No, because at the end of the day, you guys, we have an angry. People are angry, and they have been angry since January 15th. So I get people are angry.
And look what's going on in Charlottesville and around the country with what have happened over the weekend with these protests and stuff. It's not going to change.
No, it's not.
I'm curious to hear what people like Marvin Madison or Morgan Fairchild or Nancy Lee Grant have to say about this, because I haven't been on their Twitter pages to
I can only imagine what Nancy
Lee. I'm curious about what they said.
Does
anyone know why GH is on Monday?
What?
Anybody know
why I didn't get GH Monday?
I did not get.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Okay.
I stopped it. I didn't say the whole Bible. What did I make?
Thank you.
Stopped myself, okay? So before anyone emails me, whatever, I stopped myself. I'm gonna email my friend tonight and find out if it's true.
We get no TV because of the eclipse?
I
don't know, because I'm trying to watch days, at least through Friday, and then if there's no days because they preempted it because of the eclipse or either locally or nationally, I'm watching a Friday show on Monday so I can get at least called up. But I do want to say one more thing, going over today's, a couple of things quickly. I'm happy that Chad and Abigail are back together. Hopefully they won't screw things up. I mean,
oh God, I hope. You know what, Willie? Abigail number one. No.
I get Dave. I get Dave.
Sad and Gabby. Oh, the couple. Abby and Sad, there's no chemistry. There's no spark. It's like washing paint dry whenever they are on together. Why, Maggie? Maggie?
Boring.
Well, I said
thank
same
you.
Thing. I said the same thing the last few months about JJ and Lonnie, but I'm not complaining about that.
No.
I am sick and tired.
I'm a sad and Abby fan. Okay, Willie? You know, the only reason why what?
Everything
Mom.
Is on Monday but Dave. I mean, everything's on but my GH Monday.
I said, wait a minute, GH was on. I watched it.
No, next Monday.
Oh, next Monday.
Okay, wait. Okay, GH is not on Monday, and what, Dave is on Monday?
Everybody is on except my
right.
GH.
Well,
Mom, I have a feeling. I have a bad feeling in my stomach that it won't
be. Eclipse?
Okay. And then
well, Harley, I know where you are. You're going to get the eclipse. And we here in the South, since the swab is near Charleston, close by, is going to get the eclipse. So I don't know if locally they're going to preempt the show just for that locally, I suppose nationally or whatever. So
yes.
I'm going to just double check right quick before I end up having to record.
I'm afraid because I'm on the West Coast, and I'm afraid I'm not going to get anything. Am I going to wake up on Monday and wanting to watch it now? And I mean, I'm not getting up early to watch it, but the eclipse is really not going all the way to Seattle, like a lot of people have been saying. No, it's going to Oregon, and like Bend, Oregon, people, that's where a lot of the people have seen it. And if you want to get a hotel room for that Sunday night, Monday, no, everything is sold out. I mean,
yeah.
I would never ever want to do that.
I thought about looking at it, but there was safety issues with a lot of these glasses.
You're
I don't want to take chances of being blind.
Exactly, and that's yeah.
But listen, Carly, I don't want to get you too worked up or anything like that, and it's getting kind of late for me
Bobby,
here on the coast.
Bobby, I'm already worked up. I'm already worked up.
And now I'm afraid. Yeah, but my question
and now
is
I'm,
yeah. I wanted to say
okay,
one more thing.
Okay, and Bobby?
Bobby,
the new rule is if there's like West Coast news or West Coast is going to get hit by anything, you need to talk to Maggie before you tell me.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Because Maggie explained everything to me and she always makes me feel better.
Okay, I'll make sure. But I want to say
one
more
David, that goes for you too. That goes for you too, because Maggie is the only one who can calm me down ever in 2 seconds.
Just breathe.
Well, Carly,
everybody remember, Dennis Rodman lives in California.
Yeah.
And they are friends, well, basketball friends, whatever. Anyway, so we'll be fine.
I hope so. Okay, bye.
I don't know if
we are having a show on Friday. I haven't made up my mind, but
right.
I will
like
let you guys
earlier,
know.
I'm probably going to be at a football game, so I might
not
make it.
The thing is, the Seahawks are playing Friday night on the time we always do the show. So that's why we might not. Yeah.
I got doubts.
By the way, you guys did good against the Chargers the other day. New City, same Chargers, I guess.
Well, we killed them.
But I might, after I get home from the football game, catch the fourth quarter of the game,
after
I watch the Friday Night Football show before I go to bed, because I had to get up early Saturday in the morning to do something with my mom. But I do want to just go one quick soap thing right quick. I may not be the biggest Chloe Lane fan on Days, but I'm kind of okay that she's back. But I know with Nalia now taking her maternity leave to have her baby, it's going to be just a short time before she does that, and then she likely will probably come back by the time the May or July sweeps of next year happens, since they tape 6 months in advance. No, unless there's a new rule over on Days that they're taping 2-3 weeks in advance like the other soaps, then it's not going to happen. So, because outside the Winter Olympics, I think that's going to take a little bit of time off of Days too.
They always have babies then during the Winter Olympics. That would be a good time to have babies.
Okay. Well. Okay. So.
Relax.
Yes.
Breathe. I get the super eclipse.
Okay, well, let's get off the air before I say a bomb now. But no,
okay,
we probably
Carly,
won't
I
help.
Apologize for getting you worked up, but we'll keep in touch through Twitter
and Facebook
and
David,
Texas in the
I
morning.
I mean, Bobby and David,
and
I am
like
telling
that.
You, I'm just telling you, it's usually, you know, better to say ask Maggie before putting bombs on me. Yeah.
I wouldn't know
right.
that anyway.
Yeah, because Bobby, I mean, David, yeah, Boyd, because, you know, like I said, she knows me. And she knows how I will react to things. She knows how I'm going to react to things before I even react to things. So, you know.
Right.
Okay, you guys, and again, thank you, Kevin, for calling in. And we can't wait for
great
Kevin
to
come back.
Thanks for having me on your show tonight. And I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye. Bye, Maggie. Bye, Cardi. Bye.